How good are you at remembering names? Well, here's a name it will pay you to remember. Industrial Federal Savings, where your money makes more money for you safely. Since 1891, Industrial Federal Savings has paid higher earnings. Save your money where it pays and has paid for 60 consecutive years at Industrial Federal Savings, 1630 Stout.
Hear Rex Allen at 8, Guy Lombardo at 8:30, both on KLZ.
To warrant an award of the Distinguished Service Cross, a person must perform an act or acts of heroism so notable and involving a risk of life so extraordinary as to set him apart from his comrades. It is awarded to persons who distinguish themselves in connection with military operations.
Tonight, the story of how one man earned the Distinguished Service Cross awarded last week as the Biggest Heart once again travels to Fitzsimmons Hospital. Presented every Friday night by Fred Ward, Hudson distributor, and your local Hudson dealer, the Biggest Heart program salutes men and women of our day and age who give generously of their time and money, most of all of themselves, in helping to make this a better world for the rest of us to live in. Now, here to introduce our story tonight is your narrator, Pete Smythe.
Once before, we chose Fitzsimmons as the source of our Biggest Heart nominations, something we could do every week without any difficulty. It's good for us civilians to recall constantly that Fitzsimmons Army Hospital is the temporary home for hundreds of men, civilians in uniform, who have, in Korea, they have far more than qualified for the Biggest Heart Award we make tonight. During the next 30 minutes, we'll talk about three men, Corporal Robert Barnett, 24, Private Merle Kansgan, 19, and 29-year-old Sergeant James Rutherford. Their stories are the kind you can learn at Fitzsimmons just by walking down any corridor, through any ward, or into any room. Barnett's, for example, a story which paid off at 11 p.m. this January 29th as he arrived at the 118th Army Hospital and heard one of the aides tell him,
"Buddy, if you'd arrived here 20 minutes later, you wouldn't be hearing my voice now."
That was at 11 o'clock in the evening, 7 hours after he had been badly wounded. Credit for the speed in which he was evacuated goes to men whose names we don't know, from the combat medic to the stretcher bearers and the medical officers. But Barnett gives most of the credit very simply. As he puts it,
"The Almighty got me out of the spot I was in, and don't think I'm going to forget it."
But let's start back when Robert Barnett, infantry corporal, arrived in Korea and was assigned to the 25th Division in December, 3rd Platoon, King Company, 35th Infantry Regiment.
"My assistant squad leader, don't forget that. Well, the outfit, my outfit, had just come back from the Manchurian border. They'd had it up there, but there was more coming. About the middle of January, we started dishing it out, started north again. It was slow going, but on the morning of the 29th, we were ready for a big attack. As our platoon leader was saying about 8 o'clock that morning,
'Here it is, men. First and second platoons are moving up. Third platoon stays here in support. Keep spread out and watch me.'
So the first and second move up towards this hill. Our tanks and our guns are giving them plenty of help, so everything goes according to plan. Well, at 10 o'clock...
"Okay, third platoon, on your feet. Both sides of the road and don't bunch up."
Up the road, still going pretty smooth. Like the guy back of me says,
"So far, so good. Now maybe this will be an easy one."
"Yeah, maybe. Hey, now what?"
"Off the road, men. Take cover. Might as well eat. Squad leaders."
That's the way an infantry attack goes. Step by step, man by man. We eat our sea rations, and then at 2 o'clock we get the word.
"Okay, move up."
Up meant over this one hill. But just as we started... an hour of that, and we know we aren't going any farther until that machine gun on top of the ridge is knocked out. So it's...
"First squad, that's your baby. Take it around the left flank and then straight up the hill. There's cover enough to do it, but stay low."
Well, that's when you see just how low you can get. I wish you could flatten out to nothing. There are 9 of us doing it. Around to the left, then up that hill to where the machine gun is supposed to be. There was cover all right, but those bullets were chipping rocks all around us.
Hey! Hey, Corporal! How come? They quit.
I don't know. Hey! There's a gun in that big hole.
Jeez, look at the size of it. I'm glad I didn't have to dig that one.
Me either.
Hey, duck!
When you hear him that close, it's too late to duck. By the time he yelled at him, in that big hole sitting right alongside a Chinese machine gun. Full belt in it, too, but I'm not thinking of that. I'm too busy not getting hit. That big foxhole comes in handy, but suddenly I realize that the rest of the squad has been driven back. I'm alone. All alone. I raise up to see. I duck back down again quick. They're all over the place. There's one I can see about 25 yards to the left of me. So I make it hot for him with an M1. And then right away, one back of me throws a grenade at me and misses. I get mad then. Try to turn our machine gun around and use it on him. No luck. Stationary. All right then. We'll do it with this. Recognize that sound? If you've ever fired an M1, you know it. That's when your 8 rounds are up and the clip sings out. Anybody listening close knows you have to reload when they hear that, and that's when they jump you. That's when, from sort of a cave dugout inside the big foxhole I was in, I suddenly hear this. And a red crawls out and jumps me and grabs my rifle and tries to hit me with it. I managed to get him and step. And getting excited, I scramble out of that hole just in time. I don't know what hit me. There's a hole in my chest the size of a small apple. I get my cartridge belt off. I lay down. That's when I start praying. I don't know what words or anything, but all of a sudden I feel that things are going to be all right. Somehow I know those prayers are being heard and answered. My chest hurts. I'm not scared anymore. Not even when... Rifle butts 3 times, 4 times. I can still see, but I'm getting weaker. I see this embankment a little way, so I don't know why or how, but I jump for it and make it and roll down about 20 feet. I lie there waiting for the bullet that had finished me off, but the bullet never comes. Instead, it's... Our guys coming right back at them. And those Reds take off like big birds. Safe. Sure I am. Except that on top of where I'd just been.
There's one down there, Lieutenant.
I'll get him.
Hey, don't shoot. I'm a GI.
Oh, yeah? Well...
Hey, don't shoot. Look, I'm from King Company. Hey, New York Yankees. Steve Canyon. My Mexican back. Look, I'll show you my dog tags. Honest. Please, look. Let me...
All right. I'll take a look.
See, Max, see? Oh, I mean, sir, see? You're from 2nd Platoon. Can you help me get back? I want to go back. Just... I don't know what else I'm saying, but right away the lieutenant and 2 other guys get me up on the hill and give me a shot in the arm and... Then I pass out. I don't remember much else except that when they fly me into the 118th that night, when I get there, somebody is saying to the doctor working on me,
"There's not enough blood left in him to get a sample."
No, don't worry, son. You're going to be all right.
20 minutes later, he wouldn't have made it.
And that's Robert Barnett. Newly arrived at Fitzsimmons Army Hospital, where a couple of operations will have him back in shape to look forward some of these days to returning to school at San Marcos, Texas. The school he left last October for a round trip to Korea.
Well, more important than that, I'm getting married this summer. If you happen to be near Weslaco, that's right close to Donna and Mercedes, Texas. Everybody down there knows where it is. Then come on to the wedding, will you?
On the floor above Barnett at Fitzsimmons, we talked with a Colorado boy, Merle Kansgan.
That's right, Pete.
I'm from over in Cimarron, Colorado.
And more lately, Korea. That's the trip we want to hear about tonight, Merle. And say, if I have to stop you and ask questions, it's because a lot of this is strange to me, you know. But you go ahead.
Well, I enlisted just a year ago, March 7th. I ended up in the 2nd Division before it went overseas, and...
Say, that's the one with the big Indian head patch, isn't it?
Right. A darn good outfit. I was in headquarters company of the 9th Regiment, assigned to a 75-millimeter recoilless rifle squad.
Excuse me again, but isn't that the big gun they have right in an infantry regiment?
Yes, sir. Oh, it's a real good one, too. 4 men carry the barrel and 1 carries the tripod. You've got a lot of power right with you.
Yeah, it sounds that way. A lot of weight, too.
Oh, it's not bad when you get used to it. I'm kind of big anyway, so it didn't bother me. Anyway, we landed in Korea in the middle of July, stayed at Busan a couple of weeks, and then we went on the line.
I see. Rough?
Oh, like they say, it's all rough over there. I guess the most I was in at first was in August up around the Nakhtong. Being wet all the time was the worst of it, so I ended up with a trench foot.
From being cold?
No, just from being soaking wet about a week. You never saw rain and mud like that. I was back in the hospital for a month.
And then back to your outfit, huh?
Yes, sir, that's right. Things were different then. That was October. About 2 weeks we were going good. Up through Pyongyang and on towards the border. In fact, the rifle companies were along the Yalu River while we sat up on a hill firing support for them.
Okay, that's 10. Take a break. Kansas, can you stay here? The rest of you go on down after some more ammo. Well,
those last 3 were right in there. I sure hope we're...
Hey, that's too close. Mortar.
Oh, they've spotted us. I sure hope they're not going to get us this way.
Oh, they're zeroed in, all right. Just so they don't get us in the middle, you better flatten down. Kansas, you all right?
Oh, my stomach.
Yeah.
Medic! Medic! Medic!
Fragments in my stomach and chest. And see this? 1 toe gone. All because those Reds handled a mortar like it was a .22. Put one in your hip pocket, they say. And they're darn near that good.
Not that bad. But thanks to the speedy evacuation methods you've read about, Kansgen was in a hospital and operated on within 6 hours. Now he's recuperating at Fitzsimmons with a final operation scheduled this week. In case you need the information, you can still learn from Kansgen how to care for a 75-millimeter recoilless rifle, the range of which is...
Effective range for a 75-millimeter recoilless rifle.
But in case you'd like to give some information, he'd be interested in...
Oh, anything you know about raising sheep. That's where I'm going after all this. Back to Cimarron someday to be a rancher.
When it came to discussing the award of the Distinguished Service Cross to First Sergeant James Rutherford at Fitzsimmons 2 weeks ago, we got one idea of just how rare this citation really is. During his tenure at Fitzsimmons, Major Shutt, the public information officer, has been present for just 1 presentation ceremony. The award was made by Brigadier General Harry D. Offutt, Fitzsimmons' commanding general, and in strict military language. The official citation tells our entire story in 186 words. And impressive as the citation is, we'd like to tell it more fully. And when it came to finding Sergeant Rutherford, we were given this clue.
Rutherford? Well, I'll tell you. You can recognize him because he limps on the left side.
Oh, wounded?
No. The weight of all the medals he wears. Oh, but the wounds, he has those, too.
And as far as Rutherford is concerned, that old Army saying about limping could hold true. On his uniform, there are 4 rows of well-earned decorations, 5 stripes, 4 hash marks, and 6 Hershey bars. You meet a 30-year man when you talk to Sergeant Rutherford. Among his decorations...
Combat Infantryman's Badge.
Worn at the top.
The Bronze Star.
Won in May 1943 on the island of Attu for valor under enemy fire.
The Silver Star.
Okinawa, 1945.
The Purple Heart.
11 of them. If the sergeant had one for every wound.
4 bronze battle stars, Indian arrowhead for the beach landing, occupation ribbon for 36 months, peacetime duty in Korea.
And then on July 12th of last year, Rutherford returned to Korea when the 25th Division landed at Busan. As his outfit, Intelligence Platoon, 27th Regiment, walked ashore, a buddy said to Rutherford,
This is homecoming for you, isn't it, Sergeant?
Yeah, I guess it is. Pusan. Looks about the same.
Wish you were still with the 7th Division?
Kind of. It was a good outfit. But the 25th's good, too.
Colonel Mike's a right guy.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, there's...
Hey, what's all the fuss?
Where?
Over there. Those civilians.
Hey, that one fellow there.
Sergeant! Look! Your friendo!
Well, for crying out loud!
How come, Sarge? You know him?
Know him? But he used to be my houseboy when I was stationed here. Well, you old son of a gun.
How do you like that? The first guy he runs into, he knows like a brother.
But, as Major Shutt, Fitzsimmons' public information officer, told me,
needless to say, Rutherford was on his way to meeting other Koreans who were not his old friends. His division, his regiment, were to become very famous very shortly. The Wolfhounds. Colonel Michaelis. That story made headlines right from the start. The job for an intelligence platoon isn't an easy one. Patrols, behind-the-lines observation, taking prisoners, seizing documents. Paraphrasing one old saying, they're the guys in front of the guys behind the guns. One night, Sergeant Rutherford was waiting at the battalion command post when a small patrol brought in 3 Koreans.
Not bad, Sergeant. 3 of them, anyway.
Yeah, and look what this one guy had.
A 45. Brother, this is an old-timer.
Hey, check. Smith and Wesson. The real thing.
Yeah, maybe the guy used to be a cop stateside.
I'm not with that face.
You know, I'll think I'll keep this just for luck. It's in good shape.
Sure. I don't think it's been fired for a heck of a long time. Look, clean as a whistle.
Bet I know why. Guy only had 3 rounds for it.
Yeah, well, I've got 11 more somewhere. Might come in handy.
Yeah, Rutherford. You might make a good MP in peacetime.
By then, the 25th was ready for combat. But first, the job of making contact with the North Korean enemy. That, in turn, called for a patrol for Sergeant Rutherford with these instructions.
Sergeant, take 50 men and see if you can find out where they are, how many, disposition, and kind of support. Take prisoners if you can, but the big thing is information and contact. Any questions?
No, sir.
Well, that's all, then. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
They made contact, all right. 11 men returned that night from the patrol. And in returning from behind enemy lines, Sergeant Rutherford passed his own observation post, gave the password, and found everything to be all right. But as he reached battalion and gave his report...
Well, then we got back as best we could, and, well, that's about it, sir.
Good enough. Now, Sergeant, I suggest you get some rest. Things are pretty quiet.
Yeah, I know, sir, but before I do, I think I'll go check the OP again.
You needn't.
Yeah, I know, but I'll feel better if I do.
All right. But then get some sleep.
Yes, sir.
Whether that was a hunch or not makes little difference. What Sergeant Rutherford found when he went back up was that the North Koreans had quietly and skillfully overrun the forward observation post and were coming on through. What worried him most?
They've got both our radios. Why, those...
Hey, where are you going, Sarge?
They've got our 300s.
Radios?
Yeah, I'm going to fix that.
Hey, come back here. Sarge, you're crazy. Come back. Hey.
Armed with his carbine, hand grenades, the liberated 45 and 14 rounds of ammunition, Sergeant Rutherford moved out on a very dangerous, completely voluntary mission. As the citation says, quite simply, he reached the hill and destroyed both radios.
One by accident, sir. One gook tossed a hand grenade at me just as I got the 300s, so I pushed one of the radios on top of the grenade as it went off. Saved me. It busted the radio. I put a slug in the other one and took care of it.
In so doing, the citation continues, he was immediately attacked by 5 of the enemy. He killed or wounded all of them.
Well, what else would a guy do? I wasn't Superman. I just used my carbine, tossed her grenade, and even got to use the .45. Worked fine, too.
But then, as the citation itself puts it, despite a wound, Sergeant Rutherford continued on over the hill toward the enemy, throwing grenades and killing and wounding several more. For this, there is a simple explanation you'd almost have to hear from the sergeant himself to believe.
Well, I just figured it wasn't in the cards for me to get back alive. So why not use up the stuff I still had? Besides, I got mad.
More important, he got back. Cited for the Distinguished Service Cross by the late Lieutenant General Walker, Rutherford's certificate carries General MacArthur's signature beneath the words that conclude, "The extraordinary heroism displayed by Sergeant Rutherford on this occasion reflects the highest credit on himself and the military service."
Well, there you are. Just three among hundreds of stories to be found at Fitzsimmons. The stories of men who have been to Korea and have come back. The men it is an honor to salute in the best way we can on this program. We're going to meet Sergeant Rutherford in just a moment in person. But first, here's a young lady who is not only well-versed in clothes, but also in cars.
Have you looked at the calendar lately? Just a few more weeks and the Easter parade will be marching down every street in every city and hamlet from coast to coast. Have you given much thought to your ensemble for this season? The lovely new shades for spring are out, and they come in everything from hats to gloves and shoes. The menfolk will be dressed about the same as usual, although lighter and brighter colors are forecast for their ensembles, too. Here's a timely suggestion. To complete your Easter ensemble, drive to church and to the Easter parade in a new 1951 Hudson. Hudsons for 51 are tops in style and luxury, too, and their lovely colors match any ensemble. Also good to remember is that Hudsons are styled to last for years. Their exclusive Skyliner styling is way ahead of 1951 right now, yet fits nicely into any decorative scheme, whether it's on a crowded street, open highway, or mountain road. Why don't you do your Easter shopping early and buy a Hudson?
See the style-wise, economy-wise 1951 Hudsons now at Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln in Denver, or your nearest Hudson dealer. Many makes and models still available. Fred Ward Incorporated, 1300 Lincoln Street in Denver.
Well, we couldn't have done tonight's show without the cooperation of a good friend. He's become my good friend in the last few weeks since we did the last Fitzsimmons show and tonight's show. He's standing here in uniform, and his name is Major W.F. Schutt, and he's the public information officer at Fitzsimmons Hospital. I want to thank you for all you've done for us, and I wonder if you'd mind presenting the scrolls to the boys tonight. Would you do that?
It would indeed be a pleasure. I noticed that these scrolls for Corporal Robert Barnett, Private Merle Kansgen, Sergeant James Rutherford, read of the Biggest Heart, presented March 9, 1951, on the Biggest Heart program. I see they carry the slogan, "Great people carry big hearts."
Thank you, Major. Now, this lad here, who is out of uniform in a checkered jacket, he looks very sharp this evening. He's the modest lad, I believe. Didn't you have a story about him? I'd like to hear
I would that. Like to introduce Sergeant James Rutherford, Mr. Smythe.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Smythe. Glad to meet you in person. I enjoyed your story, and we're glad to have guys like you around. But first, before you talk, I want him to tell a story about you, the one he told me tonight, about what happened back in your hometown.
Well, this, Mr. Smythe, only illustrates how modest the sergeant is. He has had some leave home since he's been at the hospital. And he had a very nice time, he tells me. The other day when this award was presented to him by the general, well, we made some newspaper releases, one of which, including the picture, appeared in his hometown paper. What is your hometown, Sergeant?
My hometown is Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm a Wolverine.
Well, anyway, to complete the story, his father happened to have the pleasure to open this hometown paper not knowing that the story was going to be there, and picked up the phone and called and said, "Son, why didn't you tell me this when you were home?" And he's been carrying the story around, showing all his friends and the sergeant's friends since that time.
Oh, that's wonderful. If I had all those medals you have, I'd tell you, I'd wear them right in the front of my suit here and walk up and down the street. Well, tell me now, Sergeant, I understand you're going out tonight. You have a little unfinished business around town?
Yes, I'm going dancing tonight. I'm going to Brown Palace tonight.
Brown Palace, eh? You see that fellow in the tuxedo right over there at the organ, don't you?
Yes, sir. I met him already.
Oh, you've met him. Well, that's Art Gow, and he plays in the band over there. And if you don't mind, we'd sort of like to see that you have a good time over there. So if there's anything like cover charge or anything like that, then you see Art for the full treatment over there. Will you do that?
Sure thing. Yes, sir.
And we'll take care of that. And say, incidentally, I'd like to have you settle down here in town in Denver. We like to have guys like you around this place. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm a career man. I have about 8 more years to do before I retire. I think I'll finish it if it's possible.
Only 8 more years to go?
Yes, that's all.
So you're going back in, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you, when you get out, you let me know, and I'll begin looking around the outskirts for a little farm for you. So. Well, incidentally, we'd like to do a lot of things for you. We'd like to give you a new house and a new wife and a carload of Hudsons and so forth, but we can't do that, so we have some other things for you. For instance, photographs. We're going to take some pictures right after the show tonight so you can send them to your folks back east. And then we're going out to Fitzsimmons Hospital and take the boys who can't be here this evening, about Tuesday, I think. And we have a recording of tonight's show, which you can also send along so they can hear the story. I think they'd get a kick out of that. And if you have this another date on next Sunday or some other time, a holiday or whenever you want to go out to the Golden Lantern. They want you to come out there for dinner. Take your gal. What's her name?
Her name is Sue.
Sue?
That's right, Sue.
Sweet Sue or Sue City Sue, either one. But, and then also, I'd like to have you accept for the boys out there some Ronson lighters, which we have. We didn't know exactly what they wanted, but we're going to have them inscribed with their name and the Biggest Heart 1951. And if you'll take those out, or else I'll bring them out Tuesday when they come out. It's been swell having you on the show. Anything else you'd like to say to us?
No, sir, thank you. Everything's been swell. Thank you.
Well, you have fun, and thanks for coming down. And my congratulations to all of you. May there be more like you.
Thank you.
If you would like to suggest some big-hearted person for this show, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the big heart has done, so be as complete as possible. Our cast tonight included John Connors, Jim Herrick, Richard Wolhoff, Matt McInerney, Will Owitz, and Jay Hanrahan. Music by Art Gow, direction by Clayton Brace, and script by Elliot Wager. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30, when Fred Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor, will present another in this series of programs saluting The Biggest Heart. Bargains galore at Fred Ward's two big used car departments, 915 Broadway and 7100 West Colfax. For new car transportation at a used car price, visit Fred Ward's two big used car departments, 915 Broadway, open evenings till 9 p.m., and 7100 West Colfax, open evenings and Sundays.